You mentioned this when we were at the beach, actually. I think unless you have a really kind of scarring experience, or I think it was you that mentioned this, maybe it was somebody else, or if you're led to sort of fear the ocean, like if you have a parent or someone that makes you afraid, that is a real shame. Because I think for a lot of kids, the ocean is kind of magical. It's just like you get to walk the cusp of these two massively different worlds under the water and then land. And you're literally just playing on the line and enjoying both of them. And it's like you get to be a part of both for a day.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys listening each week. I have something to announce that we found out a few weeks ago. I'm pretty proud about, and we put it up on our Facebook page, the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. So if you guys have been checking that out, you probably already know about this, but the Addicted to Fitness Podcast was featured in the top 30 fitness audio podcasts. Some people that you guys may have recognized in that list is the Jillian Michaels Show, Rich Roll Podcast, and some other really good ones that we are, even our buddy Vinny Tortorich, who was actually a guest on the Addicted to Fitness Podcast.
One of the first ones.
Yes, so yeah. We are actually on that list, and that makes us very proud to be amongst those very people we regard as fitness and health professionals, so... Glad to see the Addicted to Fitness pod class is slowly making our way into people's hearts and minds. And you guys can show maybe your support for the ATF podcast by giving us a rating review in the iTunes or Apple Podcast app. We'd really appreciate that. So we are winding down right now. I think you guys can tell our tones is very kind of relaxed and ready to kind of just call it a day, because we our training recap is going to kind of be our most recent trip, I think, what we did today, because today was kind of a first.
Yeah,
as regards to something that was we're going to tell you why it benefits our health and fitness, but we took a trip out to the beach today with Ella for the first time.
Yes, and we haven't been to the beach. I can't even tell you the last time we went to the beach, which just goes to show that if you live in Florida, it does not mean you magically become a beach bum or are outside in the sun all the time. In fact, we probably go outside in the sun less than some other places because our sun is so strong. But yeah, we've not taken on the I'm not going to say complicated, but the in-depth procedure and process and undertaking that is going to the beach with a toddler before.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of, I don't know if you used the word daunting, but it was somewhat stress-inducing, because just thinking about driving out there in the morning and setting up and getting, you know, something that synced to her schedule too was kind of the real daunting thing.
Yeah.
But we actually found a good kind of, I think, not schedule, but a routine of going to your parents the night before, staying there, and then waking up early at their house, and they live pretty close to the beach we went to today. A lot closer to the beaches than we do, so we were able to kind of get up and get out early and got to the beach before a lot of people did.
We were like one of the first cars in the parking lot, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, we had ample parking, to say the least, so that was really nice. And it was awesome, because I think both you and I love the beach, and we wanted to share that with Ella, and getting to see her reaction to everything that goes with the beach. The
sun. Yeah, there's just so many pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many.
Yeah, the sand, the water, the animals, especially all the birds that were there. And then just kind of the whole, I guess, laid-back attitude. And we're going to kind of get into that about how going to the beach can be good for both your mental and physical health. You know, I found a great article on NBC News, actually, from 2017 that talks about how going to the beach can help your mind and body. And these are kind of things that we probably already know. Some things you guys already know we've talked about on the podcast. You know, the first thing that steps out to me or that would is a given to me is vitamin D. You know, right. The sunshine vitamin, getting out there, getting a little sunshine, absorbing sunshine through your skin to produce vitamin D. And we're going to go, I don't want to tease it, but we got something else to talk about in regards to that in this episode. But also in regards to talking about like kind of the mental benefits, they talk about there's this article from NBC News talks about how a journal called The Health Place, They took a survey of people, and they said that people who live near the coast report they have better physical and mental health than those who didn't. So I think it's kind of like we've talked about forest bathing before, where you just go into the forest and kind of absorb nature and how it can have benefits for your mental and physical health. It's very similar to the ocean. I mean, it's just wide open spaces, lots of great colors and sounds and, you know, atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that people find the sound of waves, like, crashing on the shore very soothing and use it as an ambient sound frequently. Because it is. There's, like, a steady rhythm to it that's, it's constant, but it's also slightly unpredictable, and it's not as repetitive as just, like, you know, a metronome kind of rhythm, but there's just something really relaxing about it. And I think seeing the ocean in person, it's very grounding because it makes you feel part of something, makes you feel connected. It kind of puts like the world in perspective, like, oh yeah, I'm just a little human being on this giant planet of water, and like, I'm really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and you're totally correct. I mean, this article talks about how a study from the American Association of Advancement of Science says that staring at the ocean actually changes our brain waves frequencies and puts us into a mild meditative state.
Heck yeah. It's like watching a fire. You ever watch the waves crashing? It's like watching a fire where you just slip into this peaceful, lovely, quiet place.
Yeah. Another kind of cool thing that's in this article, they talk about how the smell of ocean breeze can actually contribute to being relaxing. Because according to this article, it says that there are negative ions in the air that are produced around the ocean and or waterfalls. And those negative ions have been associated to helping treat things like seasonal affective disorder. So it's kind of negative ion therapy has actually been now discovered or helped to contribute to treating certain disorders. Like, well, we've talked about seasonal disorder or seasonal
affective.
Yeah. SADS, it's like people in the Northeast or North or Pacific Northwest who just have constant rain or constant snow during the fall and winter season. They just, it's dreary.
Really, really short days, yeah.
Yeah. So I think I have such a great association. Not only are these things help kind of make the ocean somewhere special for me, but I mean, just growing up, going to the ocean so much, it's something that I always has good memories associated with it.
Yeah, I think, and you mentioned this when we were at the beach actually, I think unless you have a really kind of scarring experience, or I think it was you that mentioned this, maybe it was somebody else, or if you're led to sort of fear the ocean, like if you are if you have a parent or someone that makes you afraid, that is a real shame, because I think for a lot of kids, the ocean is kind of magical.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you get to walk the cusp of these two massively different worlds,
mm-hmm.
under the water and then land. And you're literally just playing on the line and enjoying both of them. And it's like you get to be a part of both for a day. And you get to splash and play, and you get to see the wildlife and like be a part of that. And you just have such like, you can have such beautiful, magical memories.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten some of my worst injuries from being beaten up by the ocean.
Yeah.
When I used to surf and stuff. And I mean, there's nothing more brutal out there. I really don't think. But it's also, I've fallen asleep on the ocean.
Yeah.
Like floating on the water, and it was like the most relaxing thing. So yeah. Something that can be both extremes it's just magical.
Yeah. I mean, that was my first love, was really like marine life and everything like that. I mean, that was kind of my first career field, and
I wanted to be a mermaid.
Yep.
I still do. when I grow up.
I've been able to scuba dive in some really special places, and we've snorkeled in Hawaii. It's like, it's just another, I don't think I'm ever going to go to outer space, but it's the closest thing I can imagine outer space being like that.
Yeah.
Just a different world. And
it
like
is.
You said, very magical. Magical is a great word to describe it. So, sadly, some of the majesty, the magic, I'm trying to, what's the, some of the magic is getting taken away to a certain extent as far as the beauty of the ocean is concerned. And unfortunately, I think humans are contributing to it a little.
Of course, we destroy everything that we like.
Right, but in particular, what we're going to talk about is something that's, we kind of thought we were doing to benefit ourselves. I guess we kind of were, but then now, in retrospect, it's kind of doing more harm than good to, especially the ocean. And we're talking about sunscreen. Because I know you were looking up.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of, in recent years, and probably the last 5 to 10 years, about the effects that sunscreen has, or certain chemicals in sunscreen. I think it's oxobenzonate, I believe is the way it's pronounced. But I know, like I said, mentioned growing up as a marine science and environmental science major in college, coral bleaching was a big topic that we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, obviously they talked about rising sea temperatures contributing to that, but also chemical pollution. And one of the contributing factors is, you know, from sunscreen.
That's
from human
so
sunscreen.
Sad.
You know, a lot of resorts and things are really being hit the most because they're visited by the most people.
Yeah.
And of course, people have also been, you know, kind of, I would say, conditioned to make sure they put on sunscreen at all times because of skin cancer. So now,
also may be a lie.
Yeah, so I think that's another topic we should definitely investigate, because I'm on the same board with you about how beneficial sunscreen can be to preventing skin cancer, and maybe
there's
the
actually
prevalence.
Not any real proof,
right,
that it prevents skin cancer. It can prevent you from burning, but because most of the sunscreens in the United States specifically do not have like the compounds necessary to prevent UVA rays, mm-hmm. from penetrating. Those are rays that don't necessarily even have to like cause the blisters on your skin to actually do some major damage.
Right.
And the sunscreens we're putting on, for the most part, don't do anything.
Yep.
For that, because our beautiful FDA hasn't really approved anything that is strong enough to prevent those rays from penetrating. So
yeah,
we've got a history. Plus, like, even then, it just doesn't sound like there's much research at all or proof that just preventing yourself from getting skin burns is actually going to prevent skin cancer.
Yeah, I think a lot of, in a lot of kind of chronic diseases like that, they have a more research suggesting that it's kind of genetic predispositions to certain cancers or conditions, you know.
Plus some other ingredients like vitamin A, I think, has been found to actually increase cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Having these substances in certain things is actually going to do more harm than good.
Interesting.
There's vitamin A can be toxic in excessive levels.
Yeah, so if, like, people supplement it with it, you know, like
vitamin A supplementation. So it's frequently in, like, people can find it in, like, fish oils and, yeah, and skincare products and makeup and all this different stuff. And then you're also putting it in your sunscreens and things like that. So it's kind of dangerous. Like, retinol palmitate
mm-hmm.
Is added to nearly 80 sunscreens. And that is one of those elements, I guess, that's related and can be very bad for you.
Yeah. So the two components that are really especially bad for coral reefs and aquatic life are oxybenzone and octinoxate. So
yeah, when you can't pronounce them, they're bad.
Octinoxate. I think that's an oxybenzone. But thankfully, there are some new sunscreens that both take in consideration, human health and environmental health. So I know you found a couple lists or a list of some recommendations that we actually, from a website we've used before.
Yeah, so I found a couple of decent ones. For kind of just like the most all-encompassing, all-around roundup and rating scale around sunscreens, EWG, which is the Environmental
Working Group.
Mm-hmm. These are the people that publish the Dirty Dozen every year, as Nick reminded me just before our podcast, because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's this super cool website that I just like got lost in. And apparently we've used it many times before. Mm-hmm. But they have like a whole guide on their website. They've got research links to additional studies. And they go deep on a lot of different aspects. So they're looking at what's, you know, sustainable and good for the environment, what has the least impact, negative impact on humans, like in terms of like putting it on, and what really has like evidence that says this is something that works effectively and isn't toxic to the wearer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of it's like the three main areas. So they have, it's not even just like a rundown list, it's like they rate them all. So if you actually are interested in kind of finding out what safer sunscreens there are, definitely recommend going to this guide because they look through a lot. I think it's like 200 and something different sunscreens.
Whoa.
But they then rate out kind of like the best ones for just certain areas. So they have the best beach and sports sunscreens, the best scoring kids sunscreens, best moisturizers with SPF. And I just learned this today that any sunscreen product that meets the EWG's standards for, you know, being being like a positive, then they actually have a like seal. So just like, you know, FDA organic, which is kind of a bullshit kind of seal, but they do have like this little kind of accreditation, I guess, that you can get for your product.
Yeah.
And I found some products that I recently got actually had it. So,
oh, cool.
But so that's a big list. Like, you'll see a lot of like natural brands, a lot of like Koola, COOLA, Koola. They have like four different sunscreens that are rated pretty highly on here. But there's also like Neutrogena has some, Hawaiian Tropic has some. Like, pretty much every brand has some that are rated pretty well on here. Good. I saw a lot of mineral type of sunscreens that got put onto the list. And that seems to be kind of a reoccurring trend. Then I went on a totally different search for specifically those eco-friendly brands. And I'm very happy to say that one of them is one of our, is our sunscreen that we use currently, which is Sunbum. And it's got a monkey head on it. And it's, it actually is just a pretty darn good sunscreen overall, but it is oxybenzone free. So they call it a reef friendly. And they, I think they only, they have like 30 to 50 or something like that. But yeah, that actually got a good rating. But there's also like a Think Sport Safe. And a few other, like, there's some, like, Australian sunscreens, which it makes sense that Australians would have some reef-friendly sunscreens. And, again, a lot of them are zinc oxide-based. So, they are mineral-based versus being this oxybenzone. So, that was kind of an interesting one. I got this on snorkelsandfins.com. But they had a pretty good listing there. So, yeah, that's my findings.
That's good. You know, that stuff's important. Everybody do their research. I think Sunbum's coming a little bit more regularly available in a lot of different stores now. I've seen a lot of places.
It was kind of tough to find when I first started using it. I've been using it for a long time now. Basically, once I think it was introduced to the US, I stumbled across it. And it's just pretty, it's good on your skin. They have baby products, which are really nice. I don't know how their baby products rank in this, but yeah, they definitely have some good quality products out there, and I like that they have the stronger but not the unrealistically strong. Anything I think above 50 is now, I don't know if it's illegal or if it's like there's some rules against it. Like how it's just like unsupported claims, you can't advertise them because they're, it's lies, basically. It's all lies. So
that's interesting and good information to know, because it's almost beach season in a lot of places.
Well, it's coming into, you know, the biggest, one of the biggest vacation months of the year,
right?
Spring and, break.
You guys do your due diligence and research on not only on reef friendly sunscreen, but stuff that's people friendly sunscreen, because you gotta find out which ones are actually beneficial to you, opposed to just really essentially not even throwing your money away but then hurting yourself and the ocean. So that's something you guys could always do a little, everybody can stand and research a little bit more. So we really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We love sharing these little tidbits of information as they kind of come up in our lives, really. You know, this usually a lot of the stuff we talk about on the podcast is just a result of what's going on in our life. So we feel like we people can can relate to those things. So
yeah,
we want to share them with you guys whenever we can. So
yeah, and I think this is becoming increasingly more important, more top of mind for people too, because you know we realize that what we've typically done just blindly has an impact on our environment and our surroundings, and it's really critical. Even if you don't think that it's going to make a huge step, just doing your part is going to actually make a difference, because the more of us that do, the better things are going to happen. So
absolutely, and I think that can be kind of,
it's on anything
related to everything,
environmental, yeah, especially
fitness, health, everything.
Yeah.
So all right, guys. Well, once again, make sure you go ahead and leave that rating review in the iTunes and Apple Podcast apps, and drop us a line any way you want, Facebook, Twitter, and or email. It's all on the outro. You guys can get us hold of us any way you can, and please do. Please let us know what you think about the podcast.
Yeah, and if there are any topics that are on your mind that have been nagging in the back of your head, you've been wondering about, you want us to explore a little further or dig into reaching some experts and getting them on the podcast, then let us know. Leave a comment in the reviews and point us in the direction you want to hear more content about.
All right. You think you got anything else for them this week?
No, I'm ready to sleep.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.